This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of Road School Moms. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time road schooling mom to four kiddos and co-founder of FullTimeFamilies.com, the resource for your full-time RVing family needs. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful coast of Assateague Island. It's been stunning here and we've seen lots of wild ponies, but it is cold. On the line with me this week and every week is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a full-time traveling homeschooling mama to four kiddos, and the creator of RoadTripTeacher.com, and we chronicle our travels over at DiaryOfARoadMom.com, and I am coming to you also from a coast, sadly a different coast than my buddy KT, but I am down on the Gulf Coast right outside of Pensacola, Florida, and I'm also enjoying a little bit of cold weather here this time of year, but so excited to come to you from wherever in the world you are this week.
Oh, Mary Beth, what a great week I had. It was, we left Colonial Williamsburg, and the Arnold and us met up at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. We threaded the needle with our RVs. You know, the tunnel max height is 13.6, and I think we measured ours. Well, it's a long story, but ultimately ours was 13 feet. But, gosh, it felt really tight in there.
I've seen your pictures. It made me squinch just looking at it.
Exactly. I was hunching my back the whole time through the tunnel. And then we arrived at this Assateague Island National Seashore. I know this was on one of your lists. I so wish you could be here right now. It's so beautiful. This barrier island is so beautiful. I can see the ocean while I'm doing the broadcast this morning. There's wild ponies all over the place. At another time, you know, this is a mini show, so we don't really have time to go into it, but I'll tell you all about what these crazy wild ponies do. This week, we had a really great road school week moving from Colonial Williamsburg to the beach and learning all about aquatic life and these ponies and how they got here. But last night, specifically, was the premiere of a show we filmed back in June. Last night, Roadstead Nation premiered on the FYI network, and we were able to watch it with the Arnolds. And I'm pleased to say we didn't make complete buffoons of ourselves.
Oh, I missed that show, but I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait. I'm sure you've done awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm loading it up on my YouTube as we speak. Tonight when the listeners are listening into the show, they'll be able to see it. We'll have a link to it because I recorded it literally holding a iPad to the TV on Bunny's TV and took out the chunks that were about us and put them in a video. So it was lots of fun. Tell me about your week, Mary Beth.
Well, I will tell you that we, if you'll remember, I had just rolled into Natchez, Mississippi last Sunday night, and we stayed there for a few days. And because it was work-related, we didn't get a lot of time to do a lot of road school experience. I'll tell you, when we left there, I realized how many, things that we missed. And we tried to catch a couple of things on the way out, kind of out the door when we went through there. There's so many really interesting and historical places there, mansions, the Annabella Mansion and Magnolia and Longwood and the Frogmore Cotton Plantation. There's so many things cool in that area. And we, in maybe not true full-time style because we didn't get to just really stop and enjoy them, but we just kind of scanned by them and stopped and read as much as we could on the way out. But once we got out of that area, we actually stopped along the shore, and I can't for the life of me, and I just lost the name of it, but the National Seashore here closer to Alabama, and we stopped and seen the USS Alabama. And that catapulted us into a big kind of military road school discussion over the past couple of days. And that's really why we ended up in Pensacola. We had thought we would travel a little bit farther to get to our destination in southern Florida, but we stopped here just because really they wanted to learn more about it. So that's kind of where we're held up, just so that we can learn about the area and see what else there is to see.
Well, that's what Road Schooling is all about. That's why we do what we do. So this show is dedicated to an Instant Pot Thanksgiving. As you and I and our listeners probably by now know, Mary Beth and I are crazy for the Instant Pot. We were just talking about how not a day has gone by that we've opened it and finally used it and not stopped using it. You know, it was a little intimidating at first. And Road School Mom Clementine Backstein came into each of our homes and hit all the buttons and got us started on our quest. But now we're full-on Instant Pot addicts. And what better way to celebrate an Instant Pot Thanksgiving than with the queen of Instant Pots? We have on the line with us Laura oh, my goodness, I cannot believe I did that wrong. Please help me again. Laura.
Pasalia. Hi.
Pasalia. Yes, Laura Pasalia, all the way from Italy, has come on to the Road School Mom. She is the author and creator of HipPressureCooking.com. I'm sure you've seen her videos, and I'm sure you've used some of her recipes if you're using the Instant Pot already. I know I have, and I'm so excited that you were able to come on all the way from Italy to talk to us Road School Moms. Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
Laura, tell us why it is that you love pressure cookers.
Well, actually, I started pressure cooking about 10 years ago, and before that, I hadn't even heard of it. But I got interested in pressure cooking when I was invited to somebody's house, and they made dinner in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. I'm like, what is this thing? And at the time, she was using an old Italian stovetop pressure cooker. It makes tons of noise. It spits steam. It's kind of, but I didn't care. I mean, if you could get dinner ready in 15 minutes, I wanted to know more about it. And so I ran to the supermarket because they sell them at the supermarket in Italy. And I got a pressure cooker and I just started pressure cooking everything. Initially I followed all the recipes in the little book. So there was potatoes and there was stew and beans. And then I'm like, oh, I got to be able to do more. I got to do more. So I just started pressure cooking every single thing I was making to eat. And that's how I came up with all these different recipes as well. The speed is not the only thing that's good about pressure cooking. It's also the flavor. I don't know if you and Mary Beth noticed how much more intense the flavor is of pressure cooked food. You're not evaporating away. And the flavor is really, it's keeping the steam inside the vessel, but it's also you're tasting the vitamins. You're not evaporating away all the vitamins and minerals. They stay in the food, and they actually add to the flavor. And so I like to say pressure-cooked food tastes like food in HD. Like, it's so much more intense and stronger.
I love that. And you know what? It's funny you say that, because one of my biggest food critic in our house is one of my kiddos. And every time I make one of my tried and true recipes and I figure it out in the Instant Pot, he always says, this is so much better. So I completely agree with you. And I know Kimberly and I both are in complete agreement with you as far as taste. Can you tell me, because this is one thing that Kimberly and I, just because this is our nature, when we went into the Instant Pot, we, of course, tried to figure out the things that we couldn't cook in the Instant Pot. And I'll have to say that we've went through a lot of recipes, and there's so many great ones in your recipe book, Hit Pressure Cooking. But can you tell me, is there anything that you would not recommend cooking in the Instant Pot?
I don't recommend cooking short cooking foods. One of the things that comes out the worst is just boneless, skinless chicken breasts. Run it on saute mode without pressure and it'll be cooked. Because if you try and pressure cook it, pressure cooking is not just faster, it's just really intense. It's a very high heat and it causes the food to lose its liquid. Sometimes you want to keep some of that liquid in there. When you make a stock, for example, you're overcooking food, so you're squishing all the liquid out of the food. Well, boneless, skinless chicken breasts are really, really easy to overcook. So what will happen is if you pressure cook those, all the flavor will go into the cooking liquid, and it'll be dry and tasteless. Just really quick cooking foods are not appropriate for the Instant Pot. Difficult, challenging, muscly foods, absolutely, they should go in the Instant Pot.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Mary Beth. You know, I've been trying to cook boneless, skinless chicken breasts in the Instant Pot since I got it, because it's a staple in our house, and it has not been working out well. So I'm going to just stop that.
You're going to give that up.
Well, I have a recipe where you can where you do a chicken breast roll. So you're actually rolling it, so it's actually thicker. It's not thin and easy, too easy for the heat to penetrate it. So I have a recipe on the website, chicken and prosciutto rolls with a little bit of cheese inside, and you roll it up, and you stick a toothpick through it, and that comes out okay, you know. But just a plain old chicken, it's just, there's no way it's going to taste good.
Yeah, well, that sounds way more delicious. You know, I grew up with one of those crazy spinning pressure cookers in our house. I remember that noise every Sunday without fail. but I thought that they were pretty dangerous. Are these pressure cookers that we're using these days dangerous? Do we have to be worried?
Well, in the last 20 years, there have been a lot of advancement in pressure cooking, and just in the last 10 years, electric pressure cookers came on the market, and they all have a lot of really good safety systems. One thing all pressure cookers have is a locking lid, and that means when the pressure cooker comes up to pressure, a little pin pops up on the lid, and it locks it shut. And, of course, my first question was when I got my very first electric was, oh, yeah, and then I unplug it, and I can open it, right? No, this is a mechanical mechanism, so even if you don't have any electricity in it, if there's any pressure inside the pressure cooker, you cannot open the lid. Older pressure cookers don't have that. My mother-in-law has this kind of pressure cooker. She's still using it 50 years later, and she's totally paranoid about letting air out of the, making sure all the pressure is out of the valve, and she checks it, double-checks it, triple-checks it. With the Instant Pot and any other modern pressure cooker, you don't have to do that because you try and open the lid, it won't open. There's still pressure inside. So that's one of the safety systems. The other is that there's backup safety valves. So what that means is, you know, there's the valve to release pressure, which is really small. But in the process of cooking, food could splash in there and clog it. And so pressure would continue building up in the valve, not be released. So all modern pressure cookers have a backup safety valve that will go in case the first one is clogged. Older pressure cookers don't have that, so you have all these stories of beans on the ceiling and so forth. That's part because one piece of one bean got stuck in the valve and there was no backup. So those older cookers kept building pressure. That just can't happen with the Instant Pot because it has this secondary safety just in case. So there's a lot of advancements, and sometimes people ask me how do I use my grandmother's pressure cooker, and I tell them, don't.
I love that. I'm so glad, Kimberly, you asked that because that was on my mind too. And I know we've talked to so many Road School moms about that. Another thing that we always get questions about, and Kimberly and I cover this in our Road School Moms Top 5 Thanksgiving Tips that you can check out over at fulltimefamilies.com or roadtripteacher.com in one of our latest posts. But one of the things that we get questions about all the time are, what are the extra things or what are the extra accessories that you think are a good investment for your Instant Pot?
Well, one of the things you absolutely need is a steamer basket because that way you can create meals and stacking them vertically. You can make an entire meal in the Instant Pot, and not like the old kind of meals where you just mix everything together and like here's some rice with a vegetable and meat, one pot meal. No, what you could do is you could cook the meat on the bottom and then you could steam potatoes or rice in the middle. And then you can do a little packet on top, and you can do some vegetables, and it's like a whole meal, and you cooked it all at once by stacking it inside the pressure cooker. I talk a lot about that in my cookbook, Hit Pressure Cooking, Fast, Fresh, and Flavorful. I talk about how to construct these kinds of meals using a steamer basket and also like a small heat-proof bowl and a tinfoil packet. And utilizing three heat zones of the pressure cooker. So the base of the cooker is actually the hottest heat zone. That's where the food is going to boil, bubble and boil. It's in contact with the heating element, so that's the hottest part of the pressure cooker. The second heat zone is in the steamer basket. There the food is steaming, and it's actually cooking at a lower temperature than by steam than boiling in the liquid below. And then the third heat zone is actually at the top of the pressure cooker. We actually wrap food in foil to protect it from the steam and have it cook at an even lower temperature. So once you learn these three heat zones, you can actually combine foods that have different cooking times in the Instant Pot and pressure cook them together.
Wow, that is fascinating, Laura. You know, I have been doing the one-pot meal. Here's the rice. But I love that idea, and I cannot wait to dig into your cookbook and learn how to do that. That is fascinating to me. Wow, my mind has just been blown. Where can I get your cookbook?
You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's available in book form and also ebook as well. And maybe also your local library, if you drive by one.
Well, I'm definitely going to suggest that someone put that under the tree for me, because that would be a game changer in my house.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people you can feed with a 6-liter pressure cooker, because you can really, you know, just pile the food in there, you know, and you could just feed. You know, you can feed up to, my rule of thumb for pressure cookers, so when people are shopping for pressure cookers, right now the Instant Pot's only available in the 6-liter, but let's say they're shopping for another brand. My rule of thumb is about 1 liter, quart, sorry, I think in liters here in Italy, and they're somewhat equivalent. They're almost the same size. So actually the manufacturers kind of use them interchangeably. So my rule of thumb when you're shopping for a pressure cooker is minimum 1 quart or liter per person. And so with the Instant Pot, 6 quarts or liters, you can cook for up to 6 people or less. Or let's say you had an 8-quart, it would be 8 people or less, and so on and so forth.
I am so glad that you mentioned that, because I've often wondered what that actual, you know, what that capacity is in terms of people. So I'm so glad you said that. What other conversions are, I know you talk about other conversions in your hip pressure cooking cookbook. Are there any other topics in there that you can share with us other than just the recipes? What else is in this wonderful cookbook, Laura?
The recipes are divided by main ingredients, just like a lot of cookbooks, beans, the vegetables, grains and so forth, and each chapter is actually prefaced with little rules of thumb for each of these kinds of ingredients. For example, for beans, I talk about how little liquid you can get away with cooking them so that you end up with a nice chili instead of like a soup. You know, that's the challenge in pressure cooking. There's no evaporation when you're cooking food, so food doesn't actually reduce while you're pressure cooking as it would when you were conventionally or slow cooking. So one of the things you really have to keep in mind is actually only put as much liquid in the pressure cooker as you want to see at the end of the recipe, because what's going to happen is actually the food itself is going to release liquid and add to the liquid in the pressure cooker. So you really have to dial it back. When a lot of people start pressure cooking, they put too much liquid and they say, oh, my food tastes like nothing. And so because it's too diluted, they're used to evaporated, concentrated flavor. So you kind of have to play around with that and just think about what is the end result. Oh, I want a chili. So you just put, like, the minimum liquid for the pressure cooker to reach pressure, not, you know, 1 cup of beans and 4 cups of liquid. No, just the minimum.
Well, that's really good information. And speaking of cookbooks, the Road School Moms have compiled a cookbook with the help of Laura and other Road School Moms that have contributed for specifically Thanksgiving recipes. And that cookbook is going to be available at fulltimefamilies/instantpot. We're blessed to have Skip Shoot do all the designing, layout, and creation of that cookbook for us. So big shout out to the Shoots, and thank you very much for that. It came adorable. I love it so much. And like I mentioned, Laura's got some recipes in there, and we've grabbed some other ones from some other Road School Moms, and it's a great cookbook. What kinds of recipes will you be cooking in your pressure cookers this Thanksgiving, Laura?
I actually, I don't know who in an RV might. Maybe they would. I never go whole turkey on Thanksgiving. It's just not possible for us. And actually, in Italy, you have to order it months in advance because they only sell them a piece at a time. So what I'll be doing this Thanksgiving, I have this recipe on the website. It's the stuffing stuffed turkey breast roulé. And basically, it's just a turkey breast, and you stuff it with turkey stuffing. And you brown it and braise it in the Instant Pot, and it just comes out tender, perfect. Nobody's fighting over the white meat because it's all white meat. And you don't miss out on the stuffing because you got that too, you know.
Well, that is making me hungry.
Me too.
Mary Beth, what will you be making in your Instant Pot this week? Or not this week.
I've talked about this in past years. I've always done my big turkey in my convection oven, and that's how I roll. That's how my grandma showed me out, you know, when I was little, how to do the big turkey and all that. And so this year, my big hurdle is I'm going to do my turkey just like Laura has talked about. I'm going to use her recipe out of her Hip Pressure Cooking cookbook, and then I'm going to take some other fun recipes. I know there's a great glazed carrot recipe in our Road School Moms cookbook and some mashed potato recipe. I'm going to be making those. And I'm going to boil my eggs in my Instant Pot for deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try a pumpkin cheesecake that I grabbed out on the web. Those are my plans.
Oh, so are you going to use extra pots for that?
I am. You know how I am. I'm doing this all because I've wanted those extra pots. You know my MO. I've wanted an extra pots and lid since we were in Branson at the back to school rally. And so this is my excuse for how come I have to go get an extra pot or two. So you caught me. You got me.
So Laura, I need to know how many pressure cookers do you actually physically have in your home?
I kind of lost count. It's probably over 30.
Oh my God, you're
because
a
many
pressure cooker lady.
I don't use them all. I have a lot of them in storage. When I started coming out with kind of different and interesting recipes, manufacturers started to pay attention to that. They're like, oh wow, you know, this is where we want to go. We want to let people know pressure cookers are current, they're new, you know, they can be used for more than stocks and stews. And I try and just limit them, you know, just a couple, you know. But on the countertop, I have two electric pressure cookers. I have the Instant Pot, and I'm testing out the new Breville Fast Low Pro. And on my stovetop, I'm cycling through the WMF, Conricon, and Magefesa. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. They have a special Spanish way to pronounce it, but Magefesa.
Interesting. You know, I want to throw out there, we have been promoting Instant Pot. They were a sponsor at the rally, but we are not getting anything from Instant Pot for this show. We just really feel very convicted that we love our Instant Pots, and as RVers, they're an essential part of your RV. But so we throw that out there, and then people come back with, well, there's one for like $29.95, or there's one for $49.95. They're not Instant Pots. They're maybe, I don't know even the names. What do you say about that? Is it okay to go with a pressure cooker that's $29.95? Should we be worried about that, or should we?
Well, so here's the secret. All pressure cookers pressure cook. They all do it, okay? But what distinguishes them is the special features. So, for example, Instant Pot is one of the few electric pressure cooker that has a stainless steel insert. So if cooking stainless steel is important to you, then that's what you should be looking for in an electric pressure cooker, and that's going to cost a little bit more. The lower costing electric pressure cookers usually have nonstick bowls, and they're usually from no-name manufacturers. So there's some parts of your pressure cooker that will need to be replaced during the lifetime of your pressure cooker, and that would be the gasket. And there might be a little silicone thing over the valve. It depends on the model. And those last about 12 to 18 months. When those 12 and 18 months are up and your cooker needs a new gasket, you want to be able to reach the person who made it. So you want to buy from an established company that will support you, you know, through your whole pressure cooking lifetime with all the replacement parts that you need as well.
Those are such great tips. I'm so glad you've shared all this with us. You know, this is more than a show just about recipes. I've learned so much, haven't you, Katie?
Absolutely. I'm still enamored with the whole three-zone cooking, and I just cannot
Me
wait
too.
To dig into that cookbook and figure that out, because that is going to be a game changer in my house. I'm telling you.
I'm already looking for aluminum foil while we're talking. I'm like, ooh, do I have aluminum foil? I want to do that today.
By the way, if you want to start right now, on the website I have a chickpea curry and brown rice recipe. And so it's only two zones, but it'll get you started. Basically, you're making the chickpea curry at the base of the cooker, and then at the top you put a bowl of brown rice, and they cook together. So then you have that whole meal ready. And in about later this week, I'm actually going to publish one of the recipes from the cookbook, which is barbecue ribs and a white bean and spinach salad. And what I do with that is you put the beans at the base of the cooker, and they're boiling and they're steaming the ribs above. And then the ribs kind of dribble down their fat into the beans. They kind of turn into almost like baked beans almost. Mm. They dribble the fat into the beans, and the beans absorb that flavor, and it just turns into an amazing meal. And that will come on the website in about a week as well from the cookbook.
Okay, and our listeners who are tuned in, the website is actually www.hippressurecooking.com. So you're going to want to go there. There's all this information there. You can just use that little search box on the right. I just did it, and I put in curry, and that meal that you just talked about, that one-pot meal just came up. It looks fantastic. The pictures on this website blow me away. I'm, like, ready to lick my computer screen. Especially with that turkey roulet. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to make anything but that now. What other? Okay, so mine, you have the duo, right, Mary Beth? Yours makes yogurt, too?
Yes.
What do you have to say about making yogurt in your Instant Pot? Do you have any tips for us about that, Laura?
Yeah, actually, I've tried making it both ways. You can make it directly in the pot. You can make a gallon, which I know if you're traveling in an RV, you probably don't even have a refrigerator that's big enough to make that much yogurt, to hold that much yogurt. Or you could make it in a jar or jars, small jars, large jar. I really prefer making it in the jar because the jar that you're cooking it in, you're also going to be storing it. You don't have to do so much cleanup with the Instant Pot. It just seems to come out better when you do it in the jar. I don't know if it's the extra heat of the glass jar. It's just more convenient. You just pop on the lid and stick it in the fridge so you're ready to use it. And it's also a cleaner process. So I actually make yogurt once a week in the Instant Pot. And I put a quote on my website last year when the duo came out. I'm like, I was all ready to buy a yogurt maker, and then Instant Pot sent me this cooker. They ruined my plans in such a good way because, you know, now I'm not even thinking about a yogurt maker because it's all there in the Instant Pot. The only thing I wish is that I'm in Italy, so I'm using the U.S. Instant Pot. I wish I had two Instant Pots, one to constantly make yogurt while I'm using the other one to cook.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. I have made yogurt in my Instant Pot. I've made it twice. First, I made yogurt soup, which is fine because I use it in my smoothie. But the second time I made yogurt, I did exactly the same thing I did the first time. I just let it sit so much longer. Like, it was in that pot for probably 12 hours, closed up, you know, past the cycle. And what a difference. I got real, honest-to-goodness yogurt the second time around.
Wow.
Which I still use in my smoothie. But my biggest problem is I can't actually feed the yogurt to my kids because it's too tart. Do you do anything special to flavor your yogurt?
Well, sometimes I use jam, but let me rewind. The tartness depends on the starter you're using and the milk you're using and whether it's reduced. So when you do the sterilizing step and you're letting the milk cool off, if you leave the pressure cooker uncovered, it's evaporating and actually concentrating the milk more. So I always do that. I remove the lid to let the milk cool off before I add the starter. And then I let it ferment only about 6 or 7 hours. I don't ferment it the full 8. And I don't know, we kind of got used to it, I guess, but at the beginning I mixed in some organic jam into the yogurt for the kids. And actually, I just give it to them for school with a big plop of jam, and they love to mix it in themselves when they get to class.
That's good. Mary Beth, have you made yogurt yet?
No, I was just sitting here. You know, the more she talks, the more I realize I'm so, like, caught in the Instant Pot box. Like, I can't think outside of it. When she said that about putting a jar in there, like, it never occurred to me to that you could put a jar in there. I keep forgetting that you can, you know, that you can put, you can cook inside of things. Is there anything that you should not use inside the Instant Pot? Like, you know, in a microwave, you can't use aluminum foil. Is there anything inside the Instant Pot you shouldn't use? Other than the obvious, something that, you know, can't be used at a high temperature?
Well, there's some foods. So your pressure cooker manual, no matter which pressure cooker you have, will have a standard line of things you can't use in the pressure cooker. And they're going to say split peas, oatmeal, and what else?
Pasta.
And noodles, pasta, right.
Right.
And there's a reason why they say that. The reason they say that, it's actually, and you've seen all of those recipes on the website and in the book. And the reason I have those recipes and the reason manufacturers recommend not cooking those foods is all those foods are very foamy. They generate a lot of foam. And when you're boiling things in the pressure cooker, you're just generating a lot of foam. And the foam can push food. And the foam itself can clog up the safety valves of the pressure cooker. So how do you get around this? What is, you know, how can you cook these uncookable foods safely? Number one, all grains, all legumes should not fill the pressure cooker more than halfway. And that's the grain and legume and its cooking liquid. It should never go above half. And then the second way to keep foam away from the valve is to always open these foods using natural pressure release. Now, what's happening when you're releasing pressure, when you're pressure cooking, there's a bit of an equilibrium of the steam and the boiling water underneath liquid. And something interesting is happening. The food is actually boiling without actually bubbles breaking the surface, without moving. So when you're releasing pressure, you're disturbing this equilibrium, and all these bubbles that were being held down by the steam before are breaking to the surface really quickly, more quickly than they would be when if you were cooking on a stovetop with an open pot. And it generates a lot of foam really fast. So you don't want to release pressure through the valve because you're making all these bubbles happen. So what natural release does is it just does a thin whisk by itself of the pressure going down, and the bubbles are less violent, and it generates less foam, and the food won't reach the valve to clog it. So, sorry, I hope I kind of got a long explanation, but the point is you never want to do anything to risk clogging the valve of the pressure cooker, and the main culprit is foamy foods. So, again, the way to avoid that is do not fill the pressure cooker more than halfway with foamy food and liquid, and always release pressure naturally with these kinds of foods, not with the valve.
Perfect.
Those are great tips.
That's
exactly what Mary Beth has been asking over and over again with the pasta in the Instant Pot, and I've just given up. I just boil the water.
Yeah, I won't let it rest. I won't let it rest.
Well, okay,
I'll tell you that
pasta,
you're making
pasta, actually, no, pasta you can't do natural release. Sorry. Actually, pasta is the one exception. And the reason it's okay to release pressure quickly with the pasta is if you've made the recipes with the pasta and sauce, the pasta is actually absorbing all the liquid inside the Instant Pot. There's actually no liquid left to boil and make foam and come up to the valve. So pasta is the exception in that you can release the valve quickly because you break the equilibrium and nothing happens because it's all been absorbed by the pasta.
Well, I mean, I didn't know it, but I was already using your tips before you told it to me. And Kimberly's right. I wouldn't let it rest. And I almost 2 months to the day, I finally just this week, I made beef stroganoff. And that's about the fifth time I've made it. But this week, everybody in my house, when I opened it, and they're like, oh, gosh, you could tell the looks on their face, like, here we go again. We're going to try this again. And they were all like, oh, my gosh, this is so good. And it was what I done is exactly what you said. I put less in there. I put less liquid, and I put less noodles. I didn't try to make this humongous great big pot, and I only cooked it, like when I got it all done, I only put the noodles in, and I literally, it was on 4 minutes, And then I bit the bullet because I always do the low pressure because I always hear my grandma in the background. Even though this isn't your grandma's pressure cooker, I still always hear her, don't let that grab me. It scares me to death, even though now I'm 40-some years old. But I, you know, I bit the bullet and I set it underneath of my little vent on my microwave and I, you know, I released the pressure. I was a big girl and I did all that. So
and it came out perfect then.
It was
wonderful.
Yeah, finally.
So that's the thing. If you get a chance, if you read the book, you don't have to try five times and fail. I already failed for you, and I wrote a tip to tell you don't put too much liquid in there, you know. So what I try and do with the Hit Pressure Cooking Cookbook is distill my 10 years of experience and failures, and because whatever mistake is possible, I've probably done it because I've tried to pressure cook just about everything. I can't even think of what I haven't pressure cooked yet. So I try and write it all in the cookbook as well, kind of pass on my knowledge. By the time you've read the cookbook, hopefully you'll know almost as much as I do about pressure cooking. So
that's our goal.
Well,
you know what,
yes,
our
absolutely.
Other goal is Kimberly and I are texting, and we think that our next meeting with you, we should just come to Italy and film on site. Laura, film with our next part two. They're on
you know,
the
I think I met a road school family in a pit stop in Naples. A family just rented an RV, and they were driving around Europe for a year. And I met these four Americans at the Naples pit stop, and we just had a great conversation. The kids were having so much fun, you know, and they were so excited that my kids speak English because I speak English at home, so they were so excited to have other English-speaking children around. It's a wonderful worldwide hobby, so if you ever want to think about it, hobby, lifestyle, really, if you ever want to think about it, you know, come rent an RV and drive around Europe. I mean, we're waiting for you.
Okay, Road School Mom's Tour of Italy. We're ready. We'll pick
her
up.
It's on.
We'll pick
it's
up
on.
A couple of her pressure cookers and we will hit the road.
And you can pick up an Instapot in the UK. That'll work with the RV, you know, with the European RV.
Good to know. Laura, where in Italy are you actually located?
I'm actually also on a coast. I'm on the coast very near Rome. I'm in Anzio. So Anzio is a coastal town on the Mediterranean Sea on the western coast, I think. And it actually has very interesting history, ancient history. Nero's summer villa is here, and all the foundations are intact. So you go to the beach, and you can look up and see all the arches of his libraries and so forth of his summer villa. And then more recently in World War II, the Americans had one of the main ways of defense to Italy come in through Anzio. There was a very big battle here. And so there's actually a big American cemetery here, which so many people come to visit because they've had grandparents that had passed away during the war. So,
well, my family is from Asti, and my mother is actually in Italy right now. She's at, where is she? San Giovanni Rotunda right now.
Oh, which region is that?
I'm not sure. It's by Monte Cassini? I don't know where
okay.
it is. Okay. I don't know. She's following Padre Pio's path right now. That's what she's on a pilgrimage.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
very cool. Well,
thank you. I really enjoy.
Much.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No, please go. Continue. You were saying I really enjoy.
Oh, we lost her.
Did we lose her?
Did we lose her? I think we did.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, my goodness, that was so. You know, I know we went way over our 15-minute mini show, but wow. What great information that we got. I feel like I have a whole new machine. You know, this machine that
Me
I've been
too.
Using die hard
exactly.
for 2 months.
Yes.
I feel like
I
was just in my infancy with it, and now I have a whole new machine. That's amazing. I really cannot wait to get her cookbook. And I hope that our listeners will go and get our free cookbook from fulltimefamilies.com/instantpot. Like I said, designed, created, and layout by Skip Shute. Road School Dad, and it's a great collection of recipes to make this Thanksgiving. So go ahead and go get it. It's there for you for free. What's your week look like, Mary Beth?
You know, I don't know, because we're kind of sidetracked here. I think we're going to spend a few more days here in this area, and then we are working our way to our winter destination down on the Gulf side of Florida. We're just going to kind of take the next few days, I think, to enjoy the scenery, enjoy the environment and what's around us. And there's a great bunch of Thanksgiving just activities, and I've seen some really fun art projects that I want to do, and my kiddos are working on a unit study, a lap book, if you will, on Thanksgiving that I put together that is available over at our learning shop at Road Trip Teacher. It's a freebie for next week. So we're just going to kind of take advantage of the holiday, I think, Kimberly, and just going to do what happens. You know, our famous saying, we like to wing it. So we're going to wing it.
Absolutely. Well, I have on special authority that there are some FTF families in your area in Pensacola, especially one that is traveling with Rambler, the FTF mascot. So keep your eyes out for them. Yeah, families from the rally.
I always love to see them. You know, there's so many FTF. I love it now.
Oh, she's back. She's back. Yay. Sorry, we lost
you. Hopefully you're going to edit all that part out.
No, fine. But we wanted to just take a moment to say thank you so much for making the time to talk to us, and again to tell our listeners to go to hippressurecooking.com and to get Laura's book over there at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's hippressurecooking.com. Laura, thank you so much. Mary Beth and I just commented when you were gone about how much we feel like we have a brand new Instant Pot. There's so much more potential that we have not unleashed with this pot, and we're so excited that you taught us all about it today.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing about your experiments as well.
Okay, Laura, thanks so much.
Have fun. Happy
Thanksgiving. You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, well, our week, we have extended a few more days here at Assateague because it was so beautiful and we just couldn't stand leaving. I do want to tell you, those ponies, right, you would imagine that you would drive in here and you'd see the ponies, you'd take pictures of them on the beach, you'd take pictures of them by your RV, and you would have this quintessential pony experience. Well, not so much for our campers down the block from us who had three nuisance male ponies, a bachelor band, attack their campsite yesterday in broad daylight, eating everything they could, Cheetos, Puffs. We watched them eat peanuts. We tried very hard to, they tried to lure them away with a bag of carrots, but, you know, they went through the bag of carrots and they went right back to what they were doing, just tearing apart this campsite. I felt so bad for those campers. What a mess.
Your story is not like, you know, the other FTF family, the Williams, that we were supposed to travel with back in the summer. They have almost the identical same story. I mean, I think that's like, you know, that's kind of a thing there. I think they are.
Really?
Those
did that
ponies
happen
are smart.
To them or did it?
Yeah, yeah. Not to them, but to a neighbor. I mean, honestly, KT, their story is almost identical to yours. They're like, we watched these people. They had come back from the store and they buttoned all these things up. I think they had some sort of a container or whatever, and they opened all of it. I mean, while they were gone, and the Williams were like, they try, you know, they were like, oh my, and I think they even went and got like a park ranger or someone, and they came and shoot them off with something, and they came right back, and they ended up eating everything that they had in their campsite. Not theirs, but the neighbor. So
they ate everything.
Those
ponies
are smart, right?
These three guys are probably repeat offenders. They are smart.
They're probably the same ones. They're probably the same ones.
Repeat offenders. They're just a roving band of wild horses that give all the other horses a bad name. But listen to this, Mary Beth. So they were taking, they had the whole bag of carrots, 4 pounds of carrots, and they were throwing it one carrot at a time to lead a trail away, throwing it away from them. And you know what those ponies did? They said, screw that. I'm not going for that one carrot trail. I'm going for the whole bag, and went after them. No, oh my goodness. And I was so, I didn't get it on film. I got some of it on film, but I'm not sure I actually have it. So I have to look. But my goodness, what chaos those three ponies caused. I thought, you know, if you don't know that this is a possibility, now you do. You need to know that this happens here, that there are ponies out mugging tenters.
Well, I can't wait to hear about your experience. This is so on my leap list. Assateague Island, I can't believe you're there and I'm not. I'm so sad, but it's part of it, I guess. We'll be seeing you each other soon because we have FTF February just around the corner.
We do, and right before that, we have the rally that obviously Mary Beth and I are not going to go to because we're on the wrong coast, but the San Diego rally is the first weekend of January, led up by Lauren and Wes Wolf, who I believe are in Pensacola right now, so you might want to keep your eyes peeled for them. They are going to lead up that rally, which is a half sold out already. So if you are going to be on that coast, it's time to get your spot. And then the other rally, which has 50 spots allocated to it, over 35 are sold out for the FTF Tampa rally. So go ahead. If you're going to join us this winter, it's now or never to get your spots and get your tickets locked in for Legoland. And as you see on the special dedicated Sweetheart Soiree Facebook page, I put that dance information for the flash mob. Did you get to see that, Mary Beth? Are you practicing?
I did. Oh, you know it. We're all about that right now. We really needed one more thing. Thank you. But yes, they're very excited about that. And you know, the some of the FTF kiddos are planning this talent show. My girls are so wound up about that. We are really looking forward to February, all the events in February and the rally in Tampa.
And then we've got the race, RV Princesses Takeover Disney World. That's going on the following weekend. Yeah, you're right. It's FTF February. So very excited. Lots of good things to look forward to. You can find all that information at fulltimefamilies.com. Right there, there's a little event button. You can click on that, and you'll see all what we're doing. And join us, please. Other than that, I'm getting ready to do Thanksgiving. This year, like last year, we will find a opportunity to volunteer. You know, last year we made that a big part of our Thanksgiving, volunteering at the soup kitchen. And this year, all my kids are FTF Explorers, which is the scouting program that we have over at Full Time Families. And the November badge is Thankful Volunteers. So our kiddos who volunteer, yours included, because I know you're all are scouts too, we'll get a special badge, a limited edition badge for doing volunteer activities during Thanksgiving. And it could be as simple as collecting food for a food pantry, or as grandiose as any kind of volunteer project you can think of. So go ahead and check that out.
You know, I want to mention that one just real quickly, and I know we're almost out of time, but that is the one thing I will have to say I absolutely love about the Full-Time Families Explorers program, because it's really not all that complicated. And just like you said, the parameters are so broad, and Laura Hamilton has done such a wonderful job of creating those parameters for the different age groups. But, you know, just like that, for your thankfulness badge, you can go small or you can go big, but no matter what, you know, at the end of the day, your kiddo feels like they've contributed and they've earned their badge, and just another kudos for the Full-Time Families Explorer program.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, that's really what it's about, just getting our kiddos recognition. That's one thing we found that we were missing. You know, they spend 24/7 with us, but there's no one, you know, we cheer them on as a family, but there was no real intentional way to give them credit for the things they do. And Dominic came up with this idea, and it's just been really great. And you're right, the parameters, it's all about, you know, letting your kids think outside of the box to accomplish these things. And what child is not going to feel good about, you know, collecting cans? You can go, you know, neighbor to neighbor. You could put a bag of rocks in the community center and say, hey, all, I'm FTF Explorer. Can you bring out your extra cans? I'm going to donate them to the food pantry on this day. Done and done. And you've made a really big difference.
Yep.
So,
that's right. I love it.
Yep. Thank you.
I love it. Well, the next time that we're going to get together is next Sunday night, same time, same place, 9 p.m. here Eastern time. And we're going to be doing what? We're going to be celebrating with all of our Road School moms on this awesome giveaway. I can't wait.
I know. I cannot wait. So, yeah, it's the Gift Extravaganza, second annual. And what that means is you get the opportunity to participate in a gift exchange with other Road School moms. It happens randomly. Mary Beth and I put all the gifts that have been pledged, so Road School moms pledge a gift in the value of $25 or more, to the event, and then we put all those names in the hats, we pull them out, and that's who you send your gift to, and you don't even have to give the gift in your hand right now. You know, one of the easiest ways to do it, and how I'm going to do it, is send my gift straight through my Amazon Prime account to the address of the Road School Mom who is the winner of that product. And so it's no shopping necessary, none of that. Just pledge a gift or say that you want to be a part of it and say that you're going to be pledging a gift of $25 or more and come and join the party. Super fun. I cannot wait.
Me either. And this, even though this went way over our 15 minutes, this is the first official show of Katie and I's mini-series for the holidays. We promised the others won't be this long, but we just couldn't have Laura call all the way in from Italy and not take full advantage of all of her Instant Pot knowledge. So I think everybody will agree that it was time well spent. But coming back right after our holiday extravaganza next week when we start our first show in December, it'll be 5 more shows, 15 minutes, all kinds of quick and easy tips on all the things that'll make your holidays wonderful in your RV. So we'll be back to you in December with those, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it too. I love those mini shows. I love how they're, you know, surefire tips and tricks to just get in, get out, get on your way, especially with the holidays. Yep. We're all busy. So good times. I don't have anything else, Mary Beth. That's a wrap for me.
All righty. Well, if that's a wrap for you, then you know it's one for me. And so, again, we'll be back here next Sunday night. I believe the date is the 23rd of November. We'll be back here for our show with the Road School Moms Gift Extravaganza. We're excited to do that. 9 p.m. Eastern time, same time, same place from wherever in the world you are. And until then, KT and I will be traveling on the road, and it'll be a surprise where we're at next Sunday night. Come back and join us. And until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.